Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Esther made it in today. I had to run and get her from
Michigan City. Thank you, Larry, so much.
Yes, she had car issues, and so I dashed from where I lived, got her, and got her.
Literally dashed, yes.
That theme music you heard is by the wonderful Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We appreciate their support.
We love them so much.
They're great. Mm-hmm. Our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and we also have a regional arts patron in the one and only Mary LeVan, the Energizer Bunny of Northwest
Indiana. The fabulous Mary LeVan.
And plus our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. He can talk you through the process. We'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, getting us on the air.
We like you, Greg.
Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission, Arts Project Grant through the Southern Shore Arts and the National Endowments for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, whatever it is, send it to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. So you can listen to us there if you can't hear us over there. We are rebroadcast and streamed on Monday at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show archive at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That's also our website. Plus, you can also see our detailed arts events calendar there, too. So if you miss something while we're reading it on the air, you can see it right there.
Yeah, I know. I think the one I submitted to you today was 8 pages long. So it's an extensive art calendar.
That's just
LaPorte County.
And we have hyperlinks there and phone numbers that we no longer read on the air because they're right there. Hey, our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we also are streamed at WIUN Red Hawk Radio, this IU Northwest closed circuit radio station. Hey, we encourage you to like us on Facebook. Go to Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, and you can like us there, and we appreciate that. Hey, talking about support, we're looking for underwriting support from any group. You know, we bring you a targeted audience of artists, musicians, and also if you're interested in supporting that and getting your information out about whatever group you have, we have underwriting slots of all different levels. We'll read you at the beginning and end of our show, plus other times in the broadcast day. And it will also be on our website. You go to wvlp.org/support, or you can go to our Art on the Air webpage, and there's information on how to do that. And we love your listenership, and we'd love you to be a listener, but we'd love you to be a supporter, too, like good old little Mary LeVan, who became an individual supporter of our show. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And join the WVLP family and Art on the Air. Hey, by the way, we do have a special event coming up called WVLP Stars Over Valpo. And once again, on Sunday, March 29th at 6 p.m., we're going to be our annual fundraiser, Stars Over Valpo, at Valparaiso University's Duesenberg Recital Hall. You can come out and support, enjoy a whole evening of entertainment. I won't read all the people on there, but we have some wonderful local entertainment, a wide variety of music, all that type of thing. So you can do that. It's $20, and that helps support WVLP. We're doing some major equipment upgrades here. We're adding an actual broadcast mixing board. We're going to have telephone capabilities so we can interview guests on phone. There's a lot of things that money is going for. So we'd like you to come out Sunday, March 29th, to support WVLP, your own community radio station here right in Valparaiso at Stars Over Valpo. The information is on the WVLP website. You can find out all you want to know about that. Well, I guess we're ready for the arts calendar. And I'll start with Porter County.
Hooray.
Porter County, Valparaiso University, Brower Museum. Well, guess what they're doing? They are doing their Carrie Brown, Brown County and Beyond exhibit that's continuing. Spectral Speculations, it's Japanese prints from their Rouge collection. They have the unfinished work by Mary Bork and prints by Latiro Capilli that's in the permanent collection, and that's all at the Brower Museum in Valparaiso University. Village at Pines, well, Susie Vance, one of our old friends on the show here, she has her exhibit going on. She uses non-traditional materials. She calls herself a fiber artist who paints. You see that at the Village Gallery. And that's in Valparaiso. Chesterton Arts Center, well, they got a lot going on, but the newest thing they have going on, Wednesday they open their Duneland Schools art exhibit. These are ages kindergarten through eighth grade. I went to that exhibit on Wednesday. It's going to be running for half of this month, and the other half of the month will be the high school exhibit.
I love those exhibits the student work so much.
It's so wonderful.
So happy.
And what's great about it is it was lines out the door coming in to see the whole exhibit. It was just fantastic. So that's at the Chesterton Arts Center. So you can get there for the next 2 weeks, see the K through eights, and then you'll see the high school exhibit the rest of the month. Art Barn, Duneland Photography Club continues through March 14th, so you have a chance to go see that. Anticipating Spring. That's
I have to go to that.
Yes, I haven't been there yet. I haven't gotten down there. Plus, they have our spring class signups. Details, again, are on our page. Artsy Fine Arts, well, they're doing on Thursday, March 12th, another acrylic pour class at 6 p.m. You can find out details. They have only a Facebook page, but we have the link on our site. The Ellen Firm Gallery, well, they still continue to have Henry Schultz and Dev Armstrong. And I stopped by there, picked up my frame for the 5x5 exhibit, and I got a chance to see that. And their photography exhibit's running through the middle of March, so if you get a chance there on US 12, stop by and see it. Kevin Firm, he, by the way, is doing his exhibit and is continuing at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. So you can see his work. It's going to be there till May 25th. So if you get a chance to see that, it's a great...
I loved his piece at the...
Area Artists.
Yes. So cool. Great.
And Kevin is so creative and yet so quiet when you talk to him.
Yeah, not all the time.
Well, maybe not. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, their third annual 5x5 exhibit opens May 8th. And artists, if you want to pick up a 5x5 canvas or frame, you can go do that now. They are available there at the firm on US 12, so you can do that, pick them up, and then create
art. And pick up the art supplies while you're there, too, because it's such a treasure of a business.
You could spend hours just going through that place. It's like, it's not this clinical thing that you go to an art store now. It's like all the little nooks and crannies.
And you can find really treasures and just love it there.
Memorial Opera House. Well, you missed Mary Poppins. I'm sorry if they just closed. But they do have an Eagles tribute band that's going to be supporting the Shirley Hines Land Trust on March 14th at 7:30 called Heartache Tonight. So if you want a chance to see a concert, they're going doing some overlapping concerts there. Dig the Dunes. I think they're out of calendars. So they're sold out. So if you missed your 2020 calendar, sorry, you missed out. But they do have a thing at Goblin at the Grocer they're sponsoring called Create Your Own Beach Glass Earrings and Necklace Set. And that's on Sunday, March 8th at 2 to 4 p.m. So if you're interested in that, go there. We have the links on our site. Chicago Street Theater, well, they're doing Black Comedy, and that opens March 6th. So it's coming up tonight if you're listening to us live. It's going to be running through March 21st, our link there. And so it's a comedy that's sort of a dark humor. And then 4th Street Theater, we'll be having on the show next week. They'll be talking about their new show coming up. Art is a three-person show, opens March 13th, so we're going to have them on their opening day. And the other thing they have is on March 14th, in the celebration of St. Patrick's Day, Yuck of the Irish, and it's by Makeshift Up. I say that very carefully.
Yeah, you did.
I know. And that's their improv group, so that's what they're doing. So that's what we got going on in Porter County. Lots of things going on. So
there is, because it's spring and everything is waking up.
Well, what do we have going on in LaPorte County?
LaPorte County, the Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and it's an incredible gallery. Please go and visit them. LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra. Sunday, March 15th is their next concert with their guest conductor, Wilbur Lynn. And is this your final? Tim, is this your final?
We have one more.
Oh, one more after this?
Yeah.
So our guest will talk more in detail about all of this, because we also have Hoosier Star auditions happening March 21st and 22nd. And he'll go much more in depth about all of that. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, opening March 6th, Round Hole Square Peg, their new exhibit. March 5th, it already opened, I guess, in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios, the Michigan City Area Schools Student Art Exhibit. The student reception is Wednesday, March 11th from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Again, with the children's work, it's just the whole basement down there is just covered floor to ceiling in art. It's fabulous. Almost Maine is the inaugural show for the Holdcraft Performing Arts Center in Michigan City. They're performing the last weekend in March. That would be March 27th, 28th, and 29th. And the Holdcraft has always hosted the Young People's Theater for years, but now it's expanding into older adult shows. Rising Phoenix Gallery, first Friday again, so the opening of their new exhibit Cycles will be happening. SFC Gallery, Artist Appreciation Night is next week, March 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work of Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serko with his exhibit Me, Myself, and Eyes, his recent paintings and drawings. Just want to say much love to Bob and his family. Comic and Drawing Club is still on hold while we're picking a new day and time. First Friday Drum Circle with Don Wenig, March 6th at 6:30 p.m., so in a few hours. Saturday, March 21st, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent, and that's at 7 p.m. It's open mic, meets vaudeville, meets show and tell. Brain Injury Support Group, held in the Nest during the winter months, is every third Wednesday of the month. March 18th is the next one. March is International Women's Day celebrations in the Nest, and Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. we'll be doing special programming. So March 8th will be tributes to prominent suffragists. We'll have activities and refreshments. March 15th, Songs of the Brave Woman, original music, protest songs throughout the ages, and sing-alongs with artivist, Earth Folks roots singer, songwriter Leah Shoshana and the Rose Band, and refreshments. March 22nd will be a combination of storytelling, poetry, and music with Laura Scruggs, Ada Chang, Lisa Marie Farver, and Terza Joy. March 29th, the incredibly fabulous Dan Schaff has put together an entertaining glimpse into women's suffrage through pre-1920 silent films. I heard there's a Charlie Chaplin on suffrage. That should be really funny. March 14th is Open the Vault, the second layer in storytelling workshop from 10 to 4 p.m. This is with My Path Bibliotherapy and Roger Batten. And the last thing is Art and Horse-Assisted Healing and Empowerment. No art or horse experience is necessary. That's March 28th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's going to be painting and spending time with the horses.
Horsing
around in general. I want to say condolences and love to our great fan, Caroline. And
yes.
Yeah. And more details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page, as well as our art calendar.
Excellent.
And that's it for LaPorte County.
Lots of things. Well, we're going to move to Lake County now. Studio 659, Artistic License, that just closed. And so they're now getting ready, accepting entries up till today, March 6th, for their annual portraits exhibit. Yes, I do have one piece in the show that it will open on March 13th at Studio 659, 119th Street in Whiting. But if you're an artist, you can still get it in today. They'll take it up to midnight, I guess, by email submission. So,
wow.
Yes. So picked up my other pieces from the previous artistic license show and dropped off my one piece for
that. So would it be revealing too much if you say who the portrait is of?
Actually, what it is it's of it was one I used in a show when I did Secret Garden, and it's of the actress who played Lily, and it's called Lily's Eyes. And actually, if you look at the portrait, her eyes are a little brighter because there's a moment in the show when the her husband, she's dead actually, and they're remembering her, and her brother-in-law, who is secretly in love with her, they sing a duet there. I'm in love with Lily's eyes. And then you reveal the picture on stage, and you see the brightness of her eyes. So, it's done as a portrait. It's done as a portrait and made to look like a painting, so digitally done by myself. So, South Shore Arts. Yeah, that's some of the crazy stuff I do. Bachman Gallery, they're continuing with the Maurice Sendak exhibit there, the memorial exhibition that's going to go through April 12th. Atrium Gallery, well, they are concluding the Earthforms exhibit. You're going to have a chance to see it through March 8th. And then Laura Cutler is going to come in there with a Quietude, recent works by herself. And that'll be opening on March 15th. Crown Point Branch continues with Winter in the Indiana Dunes. That's several people having different views of winter views. That also closes on March 8th. So you got to be careful if you're going to miss these. Substation number 9, Julia Guevara is still there with his Gallery of Voice. And then Toll Theater, also it's a surreal thing that's continuing through about the middle of this month. Cafe Fresco has a new exhibit called Stark Minus. It's digital paintings, so you can see that. Miller Arts and Creative District, well, they have many things going on. Check with Meg Roman there and the links and everything. They just concluded the Black History Month exhibit. Southlake Artist Cooperative, otherwise known as SLAC. Well, they still have a call for art because we care. And it's a theme around being. They're accepting things until February 15th, and they'll be at the Paul Henry Gallery. Their current exhibits are Coffee at the Coffee House, and then that's in Crown Point, and Crackle at Sip Coffee House 2 in Highland. Paul Henry Gallery, well, they have a closing reception for their current exhibit, Interwoven Stories, and they'll be on March 7th. And then Carol Estes, who was on last week, is coming in with More Shades of She. And it's on she opens that on March 21st and with a from 2 to 8. And then they're going to have music and everything like that. And the show exhibit will be going through April 26th. Links are on the thing. Theater at the Center. Well, if you missed Almost Heaven, you missed it. Sorry. But no, they actually, you can catch a couple more shows. But in between it, they're going to have on Sunday, March 8th, a concert in there called Switchback. And it's at 7 p.m., so you can see that. But if you did miss Almost Heaven, they extended it through March 22nd. So you can pick up a few extra things. So they were going to close that show, but they kept it open. But they're going to put a concert on the Sunday event. Promise You Art House continues with Nostalgia, which has a whole wide variety of nostalgic things. That's in Highland on Kennedy Avenue. Fox Gallery, they do an open mic night, and it's going to be on the, guess you call it, first Friday for them, March 6th from 7 to 11. That's in Lake Station, a little gallery tucked way back there on DeKalb Street. Lakeshore Community Concerts on March 12th. Well, the Maxwell Quartet from Scotland is going to be there, and they'll be doing wonderful Scottish music. They've toured all over the country. You can still see that information on our site. Northwest Indiana Symphony. Well, sorry, we're going to have another symphony here, but
but guess the same day.
Guess what they're doing? They're doing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony along with the Rachmaninoff piece, but with Jana Resnick as their soloist and Vivaldi Four Seasons. That's March 6th, so you still have a chance to go see that. Find the information on our website. The 7th Annual For the Love of Art Fair. Well, that's opening this weekend, Saturday, March 7th, and Sunday, March 8th. That's in South Bend, so you can see our program reach has gone out there. Cherie Johnson is pulling that all together. Been following her on Facebook for all the things that are going and all the complications about how much it's going to cost her to have coffee from the vendor and everything. But anyway, it's a great, they're going to have about 50 booth exhibits there. I know Carol Estes, I think, is also in that one.
And I know Brabant will be there.
Yeah. So a lot of our friends of our show. Well, Tomfoolery. Well, unfortunately, their anniversary show at Langell's didn't work out, but they are going to do a special concert in Lockport, Illinois with Skip Cabarrus and the 70s of Heroes of Rock on March 14th at the Roxy Theater, so you can see that. And we'll talk more about this in the future, but Purdue University Northwest is getting ready to gear up doing Trial by Jury by Gilbert Sullivan, The Devil and Daniel Webster, and they're doing a whole double bill there, and you'll see information. We're going to have them on the show in a couple weeks to talk about that. And so that's all we got going on in Lake County, but I got one last thing that came at the last minute this morning before I had to run and go pick up Esther. It's called Beehive in Books, Brushes, and Bands for Education. It's a Buzz Afternoon Tea on Sunday, April 5th in Port Authority in Hammond. You can get that, and it supports the arts there. I'll have more details on that as it comes in, but this literally came in the last minute when I was looking at my thing. Where's your piece on here? Well, you can do it by sending it to Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. That's Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. And you are listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Well, we're pleased to have back the one and only Tim King, who is not only a professional singer, but the executive director of the...
Officially now, right?
Officially.
Ooh, for a little while, anyway.
Of the LaPorte Symphony Orchestra, and also Who's Your Star? He's going to tell us about that. And I know we visited this the first time he's on the show, but we'll briefly go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you got from where you were to where you are.
Well, as your listening audience can tell, I'm not from around here. Maybe I think I'm a Kentucky boy. I'm a Kentucky farm boy from central Kentucky, close to Lexington, educated at Eastern Kentucky University and the University of Louisville, and I was in arts administration in Louisville for over 30 years with the Louisville Orchestra and the Kentucky Center for the Arts and the Jefferson County Public School System. The public schools are very different than they are here. When I moved here in 2013, I was surprised to find out that there were so many school systems just in LaPorte County. There's like five or six school systems. And in Jefferson County, which is Louisville's county, there's one. And it's 110,000 students, so that was hard to get my hands around that. But that was my last position before I retired, and decided that Louisville was too hot in the summertime. It's a wonderful city, but it is too hot in the summertime. So go north, and I love it here. I absolutely love it. I love the seasons. I love the snow. I know not everybody agrees with me about that, but what people that are natives here need to understand is you guys know how to deal with it, and that's what I love about this. You know, if it snowed an inch in Louisville, people freak out and they cancel school for a week and they don't have the equipment. I think that's what it is, because it doesn't happen that often. So when it does, it's panic time, and it's so nice to be here on a day where it snowed 3 or 4 or 5 inches and the roads are clear and you drive.
You just go.
It's wonderful. It's great. I love it.
Well, the area you're in is really beautiful.
It is. So. It is. We really love it here.
So how did you get connected with LaPorte Symphony Orchestra?
Well, when I moved here, I did not know LaPorte County had a symphony orchestra. I thought I'd be going to the South Bend Symphony to hear. And I met Lee and Marsha Morris. Now, Lee used to be the former mayor of
LaPorte
and the former hospital CEO of LaPorte. And he actually is our board chair right now as well. And so I met the two of them, and somebody told them what I used to do. I was really keeping my mouth shut.
Exactly.
And so I became a volunteer, and I actually like to fundraise. I mean, a lot of people can't believe that, but I like to fundraise.
Oh, sure.
You know, if you have a project that you're passionate about, it's easy to fundraise, I think.
So did you come up with the a la carte series?
Yes.
That's so brilliant.
Oh, thank
Tim.
You. Well, we did that in Louisville for, I think it's on its almost 35th year or something. And what a la carte is, it's a fundraiser, a series of fundraisers that we have in the summertime. And what makes this work, you know, you guys have been involved with fundraisers, and you know what that's like. But when you have a fundraiser, they usually have a shelf life. Because if you have the fundraiser on the same night, the same event, year after year after year, the first 2 or 3 or 4 years, they're great. And then after that, people kind of, they start waning a little bit. But what makes a la carte different from that is that all the parties are different every year. And what they are, they're a series of parties and dinners held in people's homes mostly, sometimes with entertainment, sometimes not. And the hosts actually pay for the party. So when you pay to go to this party, 100% of that money goes to the orchestra.
That's so brilliant.
So the orchestra's not out one penny for this. So this past year we had an evening of George Gershwin. With a singer and a pianist and dinner. We had a barbecue on a beautiful farm. We had a karaoke night.
Oh, that's fun.
It was a hoot. We had a euchre
did you
night.
Sing?
No, yes, I did, actually.
Because being a vocalist, you probably blew everyone away.
Well, I didn't sing that much. But, you know, it's people get a couple of drinks in them, and they don't mind singing.
Oh, of course, right.
They'll do it all the time. So we're planning the one this year. It's usually anywhere from 6 to 8 parties, and they go from about the end of May till November, and we try to make sure that we stay off of concert nights and you know, things that other people are doing. But it raises, you know, a good $20,000 for the orchestra, and it's a lot of fun, and we've brought some new people to the orchestra because of it as well.
Right, back to you just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, you still perform, though, correct?
Some.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 61 now, so a lot of people think I'm too old. And I've got a little bit of ageism going on there. But yes, I just did a concert with an orchestra in December, and I'm doing a program every first Friday in LaPorte. The LaPorte Hospital Chapel has a presentation.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you've ever been there, Larry. But
no, I haven't.
You have, Esther. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
They have a small pipe organ. They have a grand piano. It's really a gorgeous space. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be performing a program called The Songs That Got Away. And what that is, it's songs that I always wanted to sing with orchestra but never got the chance. So I have eight pieces that I'm doing with the pianist Jeff Otto.
Okay.
You guys are familiar with Jeff. He's a wonderful pianist. And so that's going to be noon Friday, April the 3rd. I'm going to be doing that program.
Make sure
here.
You send that to us so we can read that on the air.
Okay.
I mean, that's an event. That's the kind of thing
you.
We do
well,
here. So. And you say 61 is old for performing, and I don't think so.
Well, you know, for vocalists.
Yeah. Okay.
For vocalists, it's... you're it's touch and go. For right. instance, the everyone that I went to school at Eastern and U of L that I'm keeping in touch with, they have stopped.
Right.
They haven't. And I have three really good friends that I told, you need to let me know when it's time. Because, musicians are kind of the worst at that. They
right.
just want to keep playing and playing and playing. And you don't have the chops, you know. Playing the piano is a different story.
Sure.
But when you're using your head and your blowing voice. Into a piece or singing or something like that, your throat's a muscle just like any other
exactly.
part of your body. And you understand that,
Larry.
So, and it atrophies might over time, but right now, it's okay. So we'll see how much longer
it goes. I hope you say that
because
my next birthday is 65. I'm like, well, I hope I'm not washed up by then. So.
Your speaking voice is wonderful, though.
Thank you.
You're a great speaking, good projective voice.
Well, very good. Well, back to the symphony.
Yes.
Tell a little bit about the history of the LaPorte Symphony, how it came to be.
Sure. Well, we're in our 47th season.
That's amazing.
I think it
I
is.
Know.
You know, when I came here, and found out that LaPorte County had a symphony, it's just really rare because there's 110,000 people in all of LaPorte County.
Right.
And you just don't find orchestras in situations like that because technically the community should not be able to support it.
Right.
You wouldn't have enough people that would go to hear an orchestra. That's not the case here. Now, I'm seeing more interest in this orchestra now because we have a music director search going on.
Right.
And people are really getting interested in that. I'm seeing more people come to each concert successively as they come on because everybody gets a chance
well, maybe
to.
Maybe that's a plan just to,
well,
like, you know.
You know, Esther, I've had some people say, can we just keep doing this?
Yeah.
I like this. I like this guest conductor
mixes
bit.
Up.
But, well, but you, and I say, well, I've enjoyed it too, but you need to have one person
you
after
need the
a
consistency
while.
Of having a music director.
It's hard
director,
on the staff
yes.
and the musicians
yes.
too, I think. You know, when they have different people in front of them all the time. But 47 years, it started in December of 1972. It was an all-volunteer orchestra for many, many years, and then became a paid orchestra probably sometime in the 80s, late 80s. And we're about a $300,000 budget now, which in the orchestra world is little bitty.
Right, that's
little
small.
Bitty. So we have a wonderful group of about 55 to 60 musicians. They don't get paid very much, but they do get paid. And we're trying very hard to raise their pay every year
time.
Now as we're getting more income coming into the orchestra. So we do about probably 7 to 8 concerts a year. Three of them are subscription. We're going to try to take that to 4 next year. And of course, we have Hoosier Star, and we do a day of education concerts for our students. And we've also played for Holiday at the Pops, which has always been put on by the hospital in the
right.
past, but they now have turned that over to us. So the orchestra now is going to be presenting Holiday at the Pops. Not only are we going to be playing for it, but we'll be planning it and marketing it. And then this coming summer, we're actually doing 2 performances. We're doing one in Michigan City at Washington Park on June the 27th, which will be free and open to the public, and then another one on July the 3rd in Lions Park in New Buffalo. So 7 to 8 concerts a year.
So you said you might be adding another one. What type of concert? Because usually you do pops and you do classical. Will it
right.
be another
well,
classical?
Well, this one will be sort of a light classical, but what it's going to be, it's going to be what we call a side-by-side concert
okay.
that we're going to be performing with the orchestra at LaPorte High School. In their new in their new Performing Arts Center, because
wow.
we haven't been able to get in there yet. So selfishly, I want to get in there, and I want us to do a concert, and so this is a great way to essentially kill two birds with one stone, and we've been wanting to do a side-by-side for a long time. Evidently, the orchestra did them years ago, but it fell by the wayside for some reason, and so that's our goal, and so we're working with LaPorte High School right now to find a good date and to involve the orchestra at the high school to join us on that concert.
And that's a great way for young people to actually sit in an orchestra. I know North of Indiana Symphony does the same thing
yes.
with the youth orchestra, and it's such a great way to building. Plus, it helps you build audiences because you get new people in
I
the door.
I couldn't agree more. And this year, for the first time in a long time, we have a student apprentice program. So we held auditions in August, mm-hmm. and we have four individuals that are of high school age that auditioned that were good enough to play in the orchestra. And so they are at every rehearsal and every concert with us, and they get paid as well.
That's life-changing.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. And we've had the flute section, the cello section, the clarinet section, and the second violin section. And they're thrilled. You can see that they come in, and we have mentors for them in the section, and I think it's been a really good experience for them. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're going to hold auditions again this August for people.
What
that are
a
interested.
Great outreach!
Yeah,
fantastic.
We're really happy about it, and they're good. Yeah. I mean, they're really good. These are good young musicians, and so they're getting a chance to play with a semi-professional orchestra and people that have been around a while,
sure.
You know, to give them guidance. And, buddy, I'm telling you, they are there on time every time and excited to be there.
That's
well,
fantastic.
What an opportunity.
Yeah,
you're listening to Tim King here on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. So, well, that's a great history about La Porte Symphony, but you've got some wonderful things coming up. You've been doing a conductor search, and
yes.
You had three. You're having three.
Had four so far.
Four, okay.
Mm-hmm. And we have two more.
Okay.
And actually, the next concert is next Sunday, Sunday the 15th, March the 15th at 3 p.m., and it's going to be at the Holdcraft Performing Arts Center
right.
in Michigan City. Now, some people will know that as the old Elston Junior High School. But it's actually quite a fine auditorium.
Yes, I've been there
We like it. We like playing there a lot.
It's really nice.
And so it's about a 700-seat auditorium, and we're going to be welcoming our fifth music director candidate, and his name is Dr. Wilbur Lin. And Wilbur is actually a native of Taipei, Taiwan.
Wow.
But to hear him, he sounds like he's from the Midwest.
Wow.
I cannot get over that. I'm so impressed with people that English is his second language, and yet he speaks it as well as any of us do, and his written word is perfect. Yeah. I mean, the stuff he sends me, everything's in the right place and the right tense, and I'm so impressed with that. You
wow.
know, I should have learned a second language. That's one of my regrets. It's never too late, though, right?
You can always do it.
But he just graduated with his doctorate degree from IU Bloomington.
Okay,
and right after he got his degree, he got hired by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra.
That is
a big deal.
Yeah.
That is a $56 million annual budget orchestra. And so he is the assistant conductor for the Cincinnati Pops, and he's the conductor for their youth orchestra. So that's an incredible position for him to have. Well, of course, this has been going on for 2 years.
Sure.
And so he called me probably May of 19, when we were just finished the first year up, and he said, I need to let you know that I have gotten this position. Of course, the first thing that went through my mind was, well, he isn't going to come here. You know, he's busy. He's
right.
And the next thing out of his mouth was, I still want to audition. May I? I thought, well, yeah.
Of course.
Listen, if you're good enough for Cincinnati, you're good enough for us. So he's put together a really nice program. You had just mentioned, Larry, about the Northwest Indiana Symphony performing Beethoven.
Right. They're doing Beethoven's Fifth, which everybody knows, but you're not doing the Fifth.
No, we're not. But there's a reason why we're all doing Beethoven this year, and because it's Beethoven's 250th birthday. You cannot go to an orchestra website around this country without finding a couple of Beethoven pieces on everything. Of course, it's wonderful music to play. We're going to be playing Beethoven's Number 7, which is an absolutely gorgeous and difficult piece to do, but our musicians are up for it, and they will do such a great job. We're going to start out with a Mendelssohn Overture, the Hebrides Overture, which is also nicknamed Fingal's Cave, which is about 6 or 7 minutes. It's a great, great opener. And then we're going to be doing George Gershwin's iconic Rhapsody in Blue.
And you have a soloist with that.
The soloist is Carrie Sheck, piano soloist, and Carrie actually lives in La Porte.
Wow.
And we try very hard, as you all know with Hoosier Star, we do this, we try very hard to showcase talent that's here in our area, you know. And she's wonderful, very fine pianist. She actually teaches at a Kessling Middle School in La Porte, but she has done lots of performing, and we're really excited to have her join us on this program. So it'll be the Mendelssohn Overture, and then the Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue, and then intermission, and then ending with Beethoven's Number 7.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Beethoven's Number 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I always know in the 9 symphonies, the first two are completely different from the remaining ones. If you listen to Symphony 1 and 2, they're kind of the, what I call, more traditional classical, a little softer. And by Symphony Number 3, we now get where I call them the aggressive strings happen. I mean, where they really...
Well, he matures with every symphony is what happens, because everybody knows the fifth. Da, 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 da. I mean, everybody knows that. And then in the ninth is da, 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 the Ode to Joy. Everybody knows the Ode to Joy, but that's where Ode to Joy comes from, is that he did this on the ninth. The seventh isn't as well known, but it's one of the most loved pieces that musicians like to do, because it's challenging and it's really wonderful to hear. The last movement is kind of fast and furious and a real, real crowd pleaser. I'm not familiar that much with the Seventh Symphony, because really all the time that I was with the Louisville Orchestra, I don't think we ever played it.
Right.
Played the ninth, played the fifth, played the third, but not the seventh. So this will be sort of new for me when I hear it. But our musicians are very excited about it. And the whole program itself, the first half's probably going to last maybe 30 minutes intermission, and the symphony is about 40. So it's not going to be a long concert at all. It's probably an hour and a half with intermission.
I was reading that this was actually his favorite symphony, Beethoven, and he conducted the premiere of it. So.
Well, you know more about it than I do. I do my research, I guess, at that point, right?
Well, I found it amazing that later in his life, how he used to do it, he cut the legs off his piano and put it on the floor of where he lives so he could put his and hear it.
He could hear the vibrations.
Right.
You know, we had a percussion soloist one time in Louisville. Her name was Evelyn Glennie, and she's a very, very well-known percussionist. Mm-hmm. She's deaf. And so I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she can read lips beautifully, and she speaks fine. You would never know it. And she had this whole array of percussion equipment in the back, and we did this percussion concerto, for lack of a better word. Not only was she incredible, she was so impressive to watch, just going back and forth, but that she plays barefoot.
Because
she can feel the rhythm. So it's fascinating when they overcome the disability that they have and do this. I mean, Beethoven 9 is one of the most iconic pieces ever, and he was totally deaf when he wrote it.
Isn't it the story that the Beethoven 9, and I think he conducted that one too, that people stood up and were applauding, and he didn't realize until someone came and turned him around to look at the audience.
That's correct. He did not know the applause was there until someone said, look, out there and cheering wildly. I hope they do that for us too.
Right.
So are you still doing the March 10th event with the friends?
Yes, okay, we have a lunch. But we have a support group called the Friends of the Symphony, and that event will be at Arbor Hill Inn, which is a wonderful bed and breakfast in LaPorte. And that will actually be Wilbur's first appearance. So we have a series of activities for him while he's here that we have actually done with each guest conductor, because what we're trying to do is make
another benefit of membership, right?
Right, exactly. It only costs $15 to be a member, and we have these lunches about every other month, so six times a year, and so we've scheduled them around each guest conductor. So he will come and talk to the friends on that's on March the 10th at noon, and we have that up on the website. And then we have he's going to meet the mayor, and he's going to meet some donors and subscribers. But the thing I'm most excited about, that I really like to watch these candidates, is I take them to four different high schools. And so his first visit is to Valpo High School right here, and he'll be with Chris Maroff and his orchestra, and he'll be actually conducting their orchestra.
Wow.
So he'll come in and conduct the orchestra, and then he's going to New Prairie High School in LaPorte County and LaPorte High School with the orchestra, and then New Buffalo High School. That's an impressive program. They don't have an orchestra at New Buffalo. You know, New Buffalo is a small town in Michigan, but in the summer, of course, it inflates about 10 times the size. I didn't realize that they only have 179 students in their high school. 50 of them are in the band.
That's phenomenal.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically with those, it's just a question and answer session. But it's really good for me to be able to watch these conductors interact with younger people, younger musicians, because we're looking for someone who not only is really good on the podium, but is comfortable in a social situation, because that's as you all know as well, part of their responsibility is raising money for the orchestra and bringing people to the orchestra and creating programming that's interesting for people to come to the orchestra. So we're looking for that person that has it all, you know, and even though we're a small budget, we want it all.
So when do you guys pull the trigger on who's going to be the...
Well, the last conductor comes the end of April. His name is Dr. Christopher Fashion.
And that program is kind of like an American songbook.
Right. It's going to be the Great American Songbook. It's going to be Porter and Gershwin and Kern and Berlin and, you know, the classics. And he is the orchestra director at Hope College in Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
So he's pretty close. So he's on April the 25th. We have a selection committee that has started from the very beginning when we sent the word out about this position, and they were the ones that took all the applications and they culled it down to six people, and then we meet after every conductor candidate comes in and talk about sure. them, and then we have a person that handles all the surveys for us and gives us in condensed form how well they did, and so we do a comparison, you know, between each.
Do you have
person.
A goodly amount? Do they do your audiences leave
they
those
do.
Surveys?
They do. They we have at least. Probably 60-70% people turn their surveys in.
Excellent.
I think that's a really good percentage.
Yes.
And it will weigh in with your decision?
Yes, it will.
Good.
It absolutely does. So it's almost like a 50-50. The musicians need to have weigh in, obviously,
yes.
you know, and then the audience has the weigh in. And so we take the musician surveys, we take the audience surveys, we talk to the staff. And Chuck Stecks, who is our interim music director, our music librarian, our personnel manager, because they're the people that have to work with this person the closest
right.
all the time. And so then we condense those down to spider charts, which I have become a huge fan now of spider charts. And it really gives you on one page a very good indication of where that person ranks against mm-hmm. the other people.
Sure.
So April the 25th is the last concert. May the 6th. The selection committee is going to meet, and we're going to duke it out on who we're going to send to the board, a recommendation to the board. The board is going to vote on a new music director on May the 13th, and then it's my job after that to call the person and see if we can't work something out, because as you all well know, we're behind the eight ball here. I should already know what my next season's going to be about right now.
Right.
And we don't know. I don't even know dates yet because
and
I don't know.
And you don't even know if they're available.
We don't know if they're available. Mm-hmm. We don't know if the dates are there. We don't know what they want to program. So a lot's going to have to be done in a short amount of time. So I'm trying to do everything on the front end that
right.
I can. So I've reserved several dates with the Civic Auditorium, the Holdcraft Performing Arts Center, just in case something doesn't work with this one individual. So after May the 13th, the plan hopefully is to get everything done by June the 1st.
And then
have stuff ready to go out and print by that time.
That's scary sometimes.
We will be sending good wishes your way.
I'm going to need it.
My gosh.
I'm going to need it big time.
But that's exciting. I mean, that
it
really
is exciting
bringing too. A whole brand new music. In,
Thank
and
you.
It sounds like you've had some excellent people coming to.
You know, when we started this search, I had a lot of people saying, you know, we love our orchestra, don't get us wrong, but how are we ever going to attract someone to come to La Porte? And I'm
right.
like, well, first of all, don't discount yourselves. And then what we found out is that there are so many really wonderful conductors out there that are assistant conductors in other orchestras, but they're not the music director.
Right.
And they really don't care where they
yeah.
are music director. They just
they want
to be music director.
Yes.
So I might have told you guys this before, but Henry Fogel used to be the executive director of the Chicago Symphony for
right.
years and years and years. And so I called him up one time because I was really impressed with the quality that we were getting. And he said, Tim, it's really simple. There's more candidates than there are orchestras. He says there's a lot more conductors out there than there are orchestras. And the other thing that I'm real proud of is that we have six candidates and two of them are women. And both of them were right at the top of the list. We only had two apply and they both made the six. And there's a real push now in the orchestra world to involve more women in
sure.
conducting positions. And why it hasn't been prior to that, I really can't tell you. I don't know why. I have no idea why that hasn't been. But right now, Maren Alsup conducts the Baltimore Symphony. She's really the only one of a major, mm-hmm. major orchestra. And then there's Joanne Folletta, who's been at Buffalo for years. And she's very, very well known. And they're really, you know, they're the matriarchs when it comes to for the women for conducting.
Sure.
But both of the Mercedes Diaz we had and Dr. Carolyn Watson this past November, very strong, very, wow. very strong. And so so we'll see how they come up and how Wilbur does and then Christopher Fashion. And, of course, we got to make a decision.
Right away.
I do want to tell people that to get tickets for this concert, it's really simple. They can just go to our website, which is LCSO for LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra.net, LCSO.net. They can get them there, or they can get them the day of the concert. We don't think it's going to sell out before the day of the concert. And they can either go to Roxy's Music in LaPorte or the Civic Auditorium in LaPorte or the Convention Visitors Bureau in Michigan City.
Very good. And also, we do have the link on our webpage. If you see
the
LaPorte County Symphony thing next to your picture, you click on that and it'll take them right to the website.
Super.
And you are listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Well, you're here for another reason.
Yes.
You are having the Hoosier Star again.
You know, you all, this is the 15th year.
Wow.
I know when we started this, of course, I wasn't around when that happened, but when we started this, that was when American Idol was just really huge. It was only like in the first or second year of American Idol, so we obviously patented it off
sure.
of American Idol. Cheryl Edwards, who was a board member at that time, started this and stayed with it for 10 years and did such a super job. And so we thought, well, you know, this is the fundraiser that, yes, it's going to be really great the first, second year, but, you know, after about 4 or 5 years, we're probably going to run out of people. Well, we haven't run out of people. That's we're in 15th year. Last year, we had 86 people audition. We have two categories. We have the youth division, which is 17 and under, and we have the adult division, which is 18 and over. And we choose 5 people in the youth and 5 people in the adult for a total of 10. And then we have a team of people that work with these individuals, and these are people that have never soloed with an orchestra before. So this is brand new to them. And so we work with them on getting the right piece, what's going to showcase them in the best light as far as their range is concerned and
sure.
what would be a good style for them. And Alistair Willis, who's the music director of the South Bend Symphony, has been coming over now for the third year and conducting for us, and he loves it. He just thinks
yes.
it's great. So on March the 21st and March the 22nd, we will be holding auditions. We have been taking audition applications for about a month. They can apply all the way up till the day before. And if they're really scared and don't think they want to do that, we if we have room on the days of, we'll take walk-ins. But you have to wait till the end of the day
right.
before we can do that. And we have our own website for that, so it's HoosierStar.com. And then, or you can go to the orchestra's website, and we've got a link to that over to Hoosier Star. And so there's an online application. You fill it out. You send it in. It's a $20 registration fee. You can do that through PayPal. The piece needs to be 4 or 5 minutes. You can bring an MP3. You can bring your phone for the accompaniment can't have any vocal on it. It
right.
has to be purely instrumental accompaniment. Mm. We have a piano, but we do not provide an accompanist. So if you want to have a live accompanist with you, you have to bring that
it.
Person with you.
And no acapella, right?
Yeah, we do acapella.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
we'll accept that. We do think, however, that auditions tend to be more memorable if you have accompaniment
I agree.
With them.
When I conducted auditions for our theater company, we always had them do accompaniment because, as you know, when you're a cappella, you could just kind of pick a range. And sometimes they would change key.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, what was that there?
Right.
So, how we used to do it for the audition, we actually said, okay, we'll teach you an audition song from the show
uh-huh.
that we'd want to hear, guy, girl song or
something. Uh-huh.
But they could bring something else in, too. But we wanted to hear them with accompaniment.
Exactly.
Because it is, like you said, it's a much better experience.
It is. And it gives the judges a much better idea of how that person can stay with the track.
Right.
So what we do with just so we want to warn the people that come in for a cappella, if you sing a cappella, we're actually going to, one of our judges is going to go up there and take you through a couple of scales
right.
just to make sure that we can tell that you
can match
your ear is there,
yeah.
that you can do that. We have about, we allow 5 minutes for the piece, and there's about 7-minute time slots to give the judges enough time to to make their decisions. Our judges this year are Mary Kay Steele, who's judged
very
well.
Oh, my gosh.
Singer in the area, right. And actually, she was one of the main judges last year for us. And then a gentleman by the name of Ken Grace Jr., who's been doing this for us for a long time. And we have a new judge, and I apologize. I can't remember her name. It's my fault. I should have done that before I came in. And then we're still working on our what we call our celebrity judges for the September event, September the 12th.
And that's when the event is, September?
September the 12th at the Civic Auditorium.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. So then you pare it down and get the five and five. So do they know? How fast do they know after the audition?
Well, here's what happens. This is really a commitment on the audition judge's part. So we have auditions from 9 to 5 on Saturday, from noon to 5 on Sunday, and we have someone who tapes them. So then Sherry Blair Drayton has been our chair for the last 4 years, and she's incredible. And so after 5 o'clock, they retire to Sherry's house with her husband, Michael. They provide them dinner, and then they sit there for the rest of the evening and hash it out who's going to get the five and the five. And I think last year they were there till 11 o'clock. Yeah. And these people have to work the next day. And it's volunteer.
Right.
We don't pay them. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really wonderful thing that they do for the orchestra, and we appreciate. What I'm impressed is that they come back.
Right.
Here Mary Kay came back and Ken came back. I'm like, oh, are you sure you want to do that?
But here's your other one, Katie. Misiak?
Okay, Katie. And she's from the Music of Oz school, I think, right?
Exactly.
In DeMott, yeah. Right. Right. Our pianist, Becky Osborne, who's a wonderful musician, runs the Music of Oz, and this individual is one of her staff people, one of her faculty people there.
So if someone wants to audition, I want to make
sure
our listeners get that again.
They go to HoosierStar.com.
Okay.
And it's right there on the front page. Click on the application, fill out the application, and they can send it right in. And then there's a PayPal button for you to submit your $20 application fee. Or if you want to download it and print it out and send it and mail it in, you can do that too. If you're going to do that, I would suggest you do that at least by Monday or Tuesday of next week, so that we, in order that we get it. That we have it. The auditions are held at LaPorte Little Theater. Mm-hmm. They've been so kind to us, and they give us a theater for the weekend. We hear some really, really good talent. And I also want to tell people that if you audition, we also have an alternate in each area. So if one of the people can't fulfill, in this past year, both the alternates made it in, mm-hmm. because one person in youth, one person in adult found out that there was a conflict and they couldn't do it. And so I'm hoping that those people will come back and audition this year. But we put it on our website very plainly. These are the dates that we need you for rehearsals.
Right.
So you need to be available for these dates. But it was interesting that both alternates got in, and they were thrilled because they didn't think that they were ever going to make it.
Yeah,
so
do you have an MC?
Yes, it's Jeremiah Mellon is our MC,
okay.
And Jeremiah won Hoosier Star in 2013.
Excellent.
And he's great. He's really, really great, and he keeps the
He's
very personable, but he keeps it moving, and I really appreciate that. Because, you know, everybody has a good time, but you don't want it to last four hours.
No, no. Got to keep it moving. How many days do they have to commit besides the performance date?
It's 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
We have a day in April where we bring them to LaPorte, and we just sit down with them and say, give us 3 pieces that you really would like to sing, and then sing snippets of those 3 pieces for us, so then we can that. And then we don't get them back together, and then we decide on the pieces that they're going to do mutually. And then there's a couple of Saturdays in August. There's a Saturday in August, and then there's a Tuesday night rehearsal the week of, and then the weekend.
Okay.
So we need them for the weekend of 11th and 12th.
And you have to probably inform them that when they're working with an orchestra, that, you know, unlike a pianist, so can you take it down like a step or something?
No.
He says, that can't happen with an orchestra.
Exactly. So that's exactly the reason why we get them in April.
Right.
Is to check them as far as their range is concerned and see what would I want to sing a certain. In fact, we had, and I'll just tell you right now, it's the guy who won, Joe Stewart, the gentleman who won this past year. He brought in a piece that was just way too high for him. And we said, Joe, it's too high. Now, do you still want to sing this piece? Because if you do, we need to bring it down a couple of keys to make you sound the very best you can. And he won. you know. But, but we, thank goodness, we had our staff, you know, a musical staff who came in and said, that's not in your best light. You need to bring that down.
Well, it's good that he accepted it, too.
He did. He did, and he was great about it. And then he got $1,000. And that's the thing. Yes, the adult winner gets $1,000. The youth winner gets $1,000. And then we have a second place position, and they both get
$500. Wow.
And they get chances to sing with the orchestra. We try to involve them later on if we can. And at this Michigan City concert on June the 27th, both Joe and Rebecca Lane, who won the youth, they're going to be soloists for us
at
the Michigan
City. And that'll be an outdoor concert.
That's an outdoor concert, right.
Well, the Hoosier Star sounds like such a great
opportunity. You know what I always find so wonderful is that they're not only can you see them right there, but they're also on the big screen, which is like, oh my gosh, it's just like so thrilling.
It is, and believe me, it's thrilling for them too. I every person last year, all 10 of them said, you know, the $1,000 is nice, don't get us wrong, but the real prize is getting to sing in front of the orchestra.
The orchestra.
That's the real
I've
prize.
I've heard that from them as well.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's true. I mean, I tell people it's the only legal high I know of. I mean, and it's true. That wall of sound behind you and just,
James Neary is a good friend, and so he always says, the orchestra.
Oh, yeah. And boy, did he bring down the house.
Oh, my gosh.
We tried to get him for a celebrity judge this year, and he's already booked somewhere in September. But we're going to try to get him for next year if we can.
Excellent. Are you looking for judges? Or?
Well, we've already asked some people. Okay. And we're one judge we have already, her name is Victoria Garrett. And Vicky is the artist in residence at Bethel University in Mishawaka.
Okay.
And she used to sing with the New York City Opera right beside Beverly Sills.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, saying she's just a great, she's a wonderful voice teacher. And I've noticed many, many of her students, and they sing really well. Mm-hmm. They sing the right way, they sing properly, and they'll be singing for a long time because safely, exactly. She's just a wonderful, and she's very nurturing. So I think Vicky will be really good, especially for these younger singers, and she'll have very positive, encouraging comments to say to them.
Yeah, and they do get feedback from
the
judges.
They do get feedback.
So where does she live? Is she from?
She's Mishawaka.
Mishawaka.
Mm-hmm. So she teaches at Bethel University.
So the feedback is important. All the auditionees get or just the?
Just the finalists.
Okay,
yeah,
just the finalists.
We don't give the feedback on the preliminary auditions. But, of course, the feedback is public because they sit right there and tell them in front of the whole audience. But we do stress to the judges, we're not interested in negative criticism.
Right, right.
Yeah. Not the least bit interested in negative criticism. And, of course, they've all been wonderful about that.
Yeah, so true.
So the criticism is always good and nurturing and positive for them.
Okay, hit the dates one more time. We're just about ready to wrap it up.
Okay, well, our Hoosier Star auditions are Saturday, March the 21st, March the 22nd. Go to HoosierStar.com. Our upcoming concert is Sunday, March the 15th, 3 p.m. Go to LCSO.net.
And you can see those on our website. Tim King, thank you so much for being on Art in the Air this week with the Laporte.
I know, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for the invitation.
And congratulations on the permanent, permanent is. Because last time you were interim.
I'm having a good time. I really am. They're a great group.
Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, along with WIUN Red Hawk Radio. We're your hosts, Larry Breckner, Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University, Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Brighton Europe, Paragon Investments, and, of course, Mary Levan. Art in the Air is sponsored by the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowments for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts or arts-related event, exhibit, appear, whatever you want to do, call us or email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we have 4th Street Theater talking about their new 2- or 3-person show called Art. And so we hope to see you here right next week on WVLP and on Lakeshore Public Radio or Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air. and show the world.